Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning in to Unique Life Starring You with Susan Stackpole. The show airs every Monday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about this show and to listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/unique.htm. That's unique, Y-O-U, unique. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle @artist_first. And now here's your host of Unique, Susan Stackpole.
Thank you so much, Corey. And we're here tonight with our guest, Matt Marshak. And we'll get to that in just a second. You are tuning in live to Unique, Y-O-U, unique, Life Starring You. And it's all about you and for you. And we are grateful because we are what we are because of you. For those of you just tuning in, we have a little project that we do here on a regular basis that we call Pray It Forward. And it's really simple. Just when you see disconcerting things in the media or things that tug at your heartstrings, there are studies that show that prayer and meditation and loving thoughts do make a difference. And so we appreciate any prayers and loving thoughts that you can put towards those things, because we do believe they make a difference. We have a very special and wonderful guest with us tonight that is just a delight, and we're honored to have him here. His name is Matt Marshak, and I'll share with you a little bit about him, and we'll bring him on the program. Matt is a master guitarist of contemporary jazz, composing original music ripe with blues, pop, rock, and soul. His international success attracted the attention of Jazz Times, who praised his groove and unique style. Mark is a Long Island, New York native and grew up on a rock and roll musical household full of musicians. And passing guitarists inspired his playing, and in high school, he honed his chops with three well-respected teachers who were Joey Cassiano, Mike Orioles, and Richard Robinson. And Richard especially tuned him on to contemporary jazz and the blues sounds of Larry Carlton, George Benson, and Robin Ford. Matt had the opportunity to play with a jazz and R&B group, as well as connecting and improvising with a straight-ahead jazz saxophonist, Joseph Yoon, while he was attending college at SUNY Geneso. He went on to perform a variety of musical styles with New York's top original band and artists, even drawing praise from Deep Purple's legendary guitarist, Ritchie Blackmore. 2000 year was a banner year for Mark and his wife, Dionne, who welcomed their daughter, Madison. And in 2011, in April, Mark released his sixth and most recent album called Urban Folk Tales. In addition to doing all these live shows, recording, Matt has written TV jingles, and he conducts guitar clinics, and he enjoys giving back as a supporter, helping groups supporting multiple sclerosis and autism awareness, visiting schools, sharing the joy of music with kids of all ages. We certainly are honored and just tickled to welcome onto the program Matt Marshak. Welcome to the program, Matt.
Oh, it's a joy to be with you, Susan. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for being here with us. You are a busy guy.
lately, yeah, I've been on the go, so I'm thankful for that. But tonight, I'm relaxing at home, which is nice.
That is. Especially this time of year, nice to be curled up in a nice warm house.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty chilly up here in New York, so I'm enjoying being inside right now.
That's right, absolutely. Matt, tell us, do you feel that, obviously, music was a big part of your childhood growing up? If that wasn't the case, do you think that you still would have followed a path in music, or was the influence in the home so much so that you just fell so in love with it that you couldn't imagine yourself doing anything else?
Wow, that's a good question. I think deep down, I always knew this would be the path I would ultimately follow. Despite knowing that, I did go to college and I got an education. I was going to become a teacher, and in that pursuit, I still worked on my music and used that time in college to really practice and. Once I got out of college, I did some jobs and in the educational field and to pay the bills and stay alive and all that. And but I think soon after, I realized, music was the ultimate calling and just, walked down that road fully.
I love that. And I'm going to sort of dive right into the interview with this question here. Matt, there's so much, and we spoke about this a little bit before the show started. In the media now, there's just this idea of overnight success and in the music industry where people sort of miss everything that goes into it, where they sort of see the fame and the fortune and all that sort of thing. And I remember watching an interview with, I think it was Amy Grant, was showing people the inside of her tour bus and the sleeping quarters and that sort of thing. And I thought, like, wow, it certainly isn't necessarily like the, when you think about what really goes into it. And I'd love for you to share with us what it means to you to be a musician, and for those aspiring artists out there, what that sort of a life looks like.
Wow, it's it is when you follow your the artistic vision you have inside. And you talked about sort of these overnight success shows, and which maybe they've always been around, these talent searches, and,
right.
And it's a different thing. I mean, I was really material for that, maybe, where it was never really my calling to fall into what was the latest thing. And I guess early on, I realized I had sort of my own unique voice. And believe me, there were moments where you're tempted to, follow what may be, sort of recipes for the latest thing, the latest success, certain bands or styles of music are having. But ultimately, I resisted that, and just, I had this vision in my head of a certain guitar style, blending all kinds of music and in the jazz context. And when you do that, when you find yourself in that situation, you sort of like self-concocted thing. Sometimes it's hard to place yourself. Or find a place for yourself. But what I ultimately realize is, when you follow your heart, you stay down that unique path that you have, you'll attract the audience that likes exactly what you do. And it may be initially harder when you have sort of an original, unique voice, and you want to put forth original, unique music to get going. But once you do, I think ultimately you're more satisfied, and then you'll have an audience that likes exactly what you do. But it can be, to follow that path, there's a lot of practicing, there's a lot of writing and, revising. And, sometimes people go to the concert or the festival and they see the final product and, there's this nice, big, glorious show. But, there were many years of non-glorious shows and little bars and little restaurants and snowy gigs and cars breaking down and all this kind of stuff that ultimately shapes who you are.
Right, and I think you touched on a couple of really important things. Going back to what you're saying about really finding who you are as an artist and staying true to your voice, I think more than anything, what's interesting is, I think as human beings, sometimes the most fearful thing, and it can also be the most exhilarating thing, is exposing ourselves. And in some level, with any sort of music, and especially as an instrumentalist, when it's your job to sort of make the instrument sing and convey all those emotions, you're really, really, and especially composing your own, pieces, you're really putting yourself out there in a vulnerable way. But what's ironic is when, and I think this is with any form of art, whether it's dance or music or literature or film, it just seems the most honest stories or the most honest music are the things that the audience resonates with most intently, because if it's your story, chances are it's somebody else's story as well.
Sure, yeah. And like you say, when you're an instrumentalist, you're writing music that has, for the most part, no words or no lyrics. So your job is to convey this message, where you talked earlier about the, sort of the American Idol format, these pop shows where it's all about the singer and all this, and and now you're doing instrumental music, which is, your job is to convey this message totally with the guitar, through rhythm and melody and just dynamics and production. It could be a challenge, so to speak, but I think it's in some ways liberating. Yeah,
I love that. One of the things that please correct me if I'm wrong, that I pick up in your personality, Matt, that I really like, is that you have this curiosity for life. That, well, what does this look like? Or let's take a look at this over here. What if we look at this in a new way? And I think that especially comes through in your music. And I'd love to have you share with us a little bit in terms of what it is to be a musician, especially for our maybe not professional musical listening audience. And what I mean by being a musician, and we'll come back to too about everything that goes into it with the little gigs and that sort of thing that are very humbling. But from a spirituality sense of going out and experiencing life, how much that plays a part in shaping who you are and how that comes through in your music. Talk to us a little bit about what that's like for you and how important it is for you to have those experiences that sort of keep fueling the music that you create.
Yeah, well, I think through my music, I personally like to try to, it used to be just about the music. Now it's sort of a message, life message that I like to put forth, and having to do with it's often spiritually based, and the messages and vibes are usually a positive one, optimistic one, and peace, joy, harmony, these things are really built into the music, these messages, despite the fact that there aren't many words in my songs and or lyrics. I think the listener can pick up on these emotions that are conveyed, and so that's my goal now. I think initially it was to put forth, music that was maybe musically correct, or it was hip, it was funky, or whatever. And now it's that I try for, but in combination with a message, something that people can take into their lives, and it can help them, and maybe ease some troubles, or take them to another place, or just create peace and joy in their life. That's the ultimate mission right now for me.
I love that, and I think that's part of what resonates with your listening audience as well, is that there's so much infused in the music in terms of what your intention is to convey, and I definitely think that comes through. I do believe we have one of your tracks lined up here called Silent Knowing from your most recent album. Would love to have you tell us a little bit about the inspiration for that track and anything sort of unique that makes that particular song special for you.
Sure. Silent Knowing it's sort of a concept I read about from an author. I'm sure who you and your listeners are probably very familiar with, Wayne Dyer. And I read his book, The Power of Intention.
Ooh, that's a good one.
right when I was starting, starting to travel, and I was starting to get invited to play certain shows and festivals across the country. And I was just getting going, and there was a lot of questions in my mind and a lot of, I was pushing hard at that time, and a lot of people giving me advice, and you had managers and agents and people like that who they're all trying to encourage you, and it could be overwhelming at times. And after I read that book, it kind of reminded me that it's about putting forth your music and having a strategy, but it's also having allowing. And having that silent knowing deep inside of who you are and what that vision is you have for yourself, and not needing to really defend it or explain it, and just knowing peacefully within what you want to do and how you want to change the world.
Oh, that's beautiful. Wonderful. Oh, I'm so glad you were here tonight to share that with us, Matt. That's fantastic. I love that there's so much that went into that, and I definitely think that comes through. Definitely comes through. It's such an uplifting, inspiring piece. For anyone who's just tuning in, we are Unique Life Starring You, and we are here with the talented Matt Marshak. Please visit Matt's website at www.matt.marshak.com to get more information on Matt, where he's performing, to purchase his music, all that sort of good thing. The song we're about to hear is Silent Knowing from his most recent album, Urban Folktales. Enjoy.
Back to Unique Life Starring You.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us here on YOU Unique Life Starring You. The beautiful music you just heard is the talented Matt Marshak. That was the song Silent Knowing from his album Urban Folktales. You can find more of his album and more about Matt on his website, www.mattmarshak.com. And welcome back to the program with us, Matt.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
Well, we are just having a party at Unique here tonight. You are just such a fun and fabulous guest and just bring all sorts of entertainment and education to us. So we're really grateful to have you with us.
Oh, no, this is a great way to spend the night. Thanks for having me.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. Matt, this is your, my understanding is this is your sixth album, correct?
Yeah, this is number six.
Okay. Obviously, there's a lot of learning curve that's involved in the music industry, especially when you get started. Was there anything particularly surprising for you when you first started recording professionally, and how has that changed, especially in terms of we're in a digital musical age now where you're able to get really professional musical equipment at home? Could you share with us a little bit about what that process has been like for you?
Sure. Well, when I first started recording my albums, it was sort of the end of the analog tape era where you'd go into a studio and it was very expensive to record. And my first record, I remember you had to go purchase these big tapes and you had to hire an engineer and all this stuff. And it was quite overwhelming at that time. And you fast forward to the modern day, I'm sitting right now in front of my big Apple computer, and everything is done by myself right in my little studio, and instantaneously I don't have to buy any tape, I don't have to call a producer, an engineer, I can do it all myself now. So it's pretty amazing how it's gone from being so expensive and a little bit exclusive to something that's very manageable, still great sounding, and a whole lot cheaper.
And I was just going to say, in the sound quality, in some cases, on albums that people like yourself are doing themselves, is almost better than the quality of some things that have come out of the studio, which is just mind-blowing almost. It's like, how is that even possible? So that I appreciate you sharing that with us. Thank you.
Yeah, it's I think, and there's some musicians too who, they won't get involved at all with it. They'll say, well, no, I'm just an artist and I know how to sing and play or whatever they do. But for the most part, it's become sort of like a standard thing now to have some sort of setup in your home to document your ideas at least. But I found that when I'm in my own home, I'm at my most comfortable state. And I think I know exactly how I want my guitar to sound like nobody could ever understand. So when I'm in control, I think it brings the best out of my sound. And so in some ways, like you said, I think it actually sounds better. Oftentimes I would go into the studio and I'd have a sound in my head, and you try to use words to describe it to an engineer who would be, adjusting things. And sometimes they would get it, but sometimes, they had a whole different idea of what it should sound like. And sometimes that's good, where someone takes you to a new area. But when you're working on your own records now, it's like I said earlier, it's sort of liberating when I can do it all myself, and I enjoy that.
And it's nice, too, because if you have an idea or if for some reason you feel particularly energized at, 3 o'clock in the morning, you can sort of go into the studio and lay a track down here and there. So I would imagine it makes for a little bit more relaxed performance in a good way on the albums as well, because it's sort of on your own terms and it's in a comfortable environment. So that's a really cool thing.
Oh yeah. For instance, this weekend I've been working on a new piece and yesterday I did sort of some acoustic guitar and now today I've been listening to it, for a while, and I'm going to add an electric guitar. And where in the past, if I was in the studio watching the clock, I may have done it all within 2 hours. And now I get to really sit back and listen and think about what I'm going to do next, which I really like.
I like that. Oh, my goodness. Matt, let's talk a little bit about perfectionism. And it's been a really interesting theme, especially with our musical guests on the show. Perfectionism both in music and in life. And I was wondering if you could share a little bit, because a lot of musicians I know just want to get it absolutely perfect and it can sort of drive you crazy. Is that something that's an issue for you? And if so, how do you deal with it? And what advice would you have for other people, not just from a musical standpoint, but from a life standpoint? Because I think sometimes that desire for perfection versus progress keeps people from moving forward and achieving what it is that they really desire.
Sure. That's a great topic, Susan. And in fact, I don't think anybody could say it better than Quincy Jones. And he said, be careful of paralysis by analysis.
Ah, love it. And isn't that so true? It's so true. And you see so many people just sort of crippled by it, where it's just that they're so afraid of putting something out there that isn't as good as they would like, that they just end up not putting anything out there and just staying stuck. So I love that. Thank you for sharing that with us, Matt.
Yeah. I think you have to. I have a lot of friends and people who I advise, and they have this idea to put out a record or just a song, but they're always analyzing it and I'm hearing it this way, no, this is not just right, and I think they're doing too much editing ahead of time, and you have to sort of put it. Admit where you are, so to speak, and say, this is where I am at this point, and you do a great job, and you put your heart and soul into it, and you record it, and if something's not right, you fix it, but to overanalyze and dwell on it and change and, to overdo it in terms of those things, you got to be careful of that, because then, you know, a few years go by and you're still working on the same project, and you want to make sure you sort of document where you are at that time, put it out, and you'll be surprised you'll find that people will enjoy what you do, and so don't edit yourself too quick is my advice, and put it out there and leave room for you to grow. And perfectionism is, yeah, that, as an artist, that's definitely an issue. At some point, you have to put it out there and allow, you know. So some of the greatest timeless music is imperfect, you know.
Right, exactly. And you think of things that were invented sort of by accident, you know, post-it notes and that sort of thing. I think the same thing is in music, or even if you talk to people in the movie industry or television industry, they say some of the, you know, best lines that happened were actually, you know, the most memorable or whatever were improvised. So I think that that's a really excellent point to make, and hopefully that's inspiring for all of our listeners to take a step forward toward living their dreams this year. Is just get out there and do it. I had a voice coach tell me once, create first and critique later, and I always thought that was really helpful advice. And it sounds like that's sort of what you do, is that you create first and then critique it and then get it out there. So
get it out there and also realize that the emotions and the feelings behind the music, you know, that's powerful stuff too, where you could have something that's might be perfect, so to speak, but if by overdoing it so much that, you know, you've maybe erased or diminished the emotion, that's a big part of you know what listeners will pick up on, is that emotion, that feeling, where it came from. And someone like, you know, most famous, you know, guitar heroes, you know, people like Jimi Hendrix. So there was so much emotion behind those notes, you know, and feelings. And at times it was, you know, if you analyze it, maybe it was musically imperfect at spots, but the emotions and feeling behind that were just so incredible that, I mean, that's why I think it's remained so timeless.
That's a really excellent point. Very, very on point with that, Mark. I appreciate you sharing, or Matt. I appreciate you sharing that with us. I'm so excited. We've got another one of your tracks lined up to hear. It is Winter's Day, and I was wondering if you could share with us a little bit about the inspiration behind that. So also appropriate for our show today.
Sure. Winter's Day was. It is a song that has not yet been published or put out, and this is the first time it's ever been played anywhere. So.
All right. Well, we're honored to debut it here on Unique.
A lot of my music is based on the urban experience and sort of documents life and feelings from maybe that perspective. But a couple winters ago, I went sort of for a little hike on a snowy day, and I took some pictures, and it was peaceful and quiet in the woods, and no one was around, and I took these pictures, and I just, the lighting was just right, and I got these great shots, and put them on my computer, and I went home. I tried to capture what I saw in music, and this is what you will hear on an acoustic guitar called Winter's Day.
Oh, it's beautiful. I'm relaxed just listening to your story. For anyone just tuning in, we are YO Unique Life Starring You, and we are here with the talented Matt Marshak. Please visit Matt's website at www.mattmarshak.com. And the track that you're about to hear is actually unreleased, debuting for the first time here on Unique, called Winter's Day. Enjoy.
Thank you.
And now back to Unique on the Artist First World Radio Network.
Thank you so much, listeners, for joining us. The beautiful tune that you heard is Winter's Day, and it's actually an unreleased track by the wonderful Matt Marshak, who is our guest this evening. Welcome back to the program, Matt.
Oh, I'm glad to be with you and having a good time.
We're just super excited to have you with us, and you're educating and you're entertaining us. It feels like a party.
I'm having a party too.
Matt, let's talk a little bit about, when I hear pieces like that, it's just so soulful and inspiring, and from a musical standpoint, the simplicity of the guitar, and it's just so sort of raw and vulnerable. And one of the things that you were talking about before the break was about the sort of spirituality that goes into creating and the type of story that you're telling and that sort of thing. And I know people sort of in all that have dreams of creating, whether it's as an author or as a musician or songwriter or dancer, that sort of thing, that get to places where they feel very, very creatively frustrated, that maybe they're in the process of studying and they don't have the technique yet to convey what it is that their soul is trying to express or something like that. I was wondering if you could share with us if you've ever experienced anything like that, and if you have any advice for our listening audience for whatever walk of life they're in, whether it's that, you know, they're dreaming of being an architect and just, you know, sort of climbing up the ladder to get where they need to go, or anyone in the creative profession, how to sort of make peace with that and use that for themselves instead of against themselves.
Sure. I think if you have a desire, a passion, or vision within, like I said earlier, to find what is uniquely you, and that is ultimately what you want to build it around, what your strength is, or what is that special something that you offer. And often, if any musicians are listening, when there's any type of show or gig and folks are tuning up or warming up, it's usually when they plug into whatever their instrument, into their amplifiers, it's that first something that they play. And it's usually like a warm-up thing, but that's usually what is uniquely that musician, I've noticed. And when I work with musicians, I want them to be that. I don't want them to be someone else or even what someone played on my record. I want them to bring to the table, you know, what makes them. I think whatever field you are in, it's hard work and it's practice and it's, I think it's also, I'm trying to think of the correct word. It's having some sort of faith in what you want to accomplish and having that deep faith and I know fear and doubt are a thing that do creep into all of our hearts and all of our minds, but somehow to keep that faith strong and to commit to whatever you want. And I found that when you commit to something, it commits back to you. And I know it's life can be challenging. We all have to pay the bills and while pursuing our dream. I found that, you know, while you do that, you practice every night at whatever you do, or you work hard at whatever you may be trying to create. Sure enough, I think if you have enough, if you hold on to that faith and you commit to that and you keep that vision strong in your mind, despite how many rough days you may have or rough patches in between, that more often than not, it's a gradual incline towards your dream. And I think we all have to be reminded of that, too. I mean, even once we make advancements and we understand that, it's easy to forget that, too.
I love, two things that you just said about that. What you commit to will sort of commit to you. I've heard so many stories about that. Barbara Streisand has a great version of that with the movie Yentl. She said everything seemed like it was against them, and once they committed to it, all of a sudden things that weren't working all, you know, fell into place. And so I love that. And I love what you just said about gradual incline towards your dream. Because I think that, I think what happens is a lot of times that, that we'll be looking at the small picture, where going back to what you were saying at the beginning of the interview, as a beginning musician at the start of your career, and you're playing these little clubs and that sort of thing, and there's you know, it's just not exactly where you want to be. It's sort of on the way. It's tough to keep the faith. I had a friend that went to see, I want to say it's Maroon 5, but don't quote me, and they did this huge concert, and they, unbeknownst to this girl, they were going to bring her up on stage, and when they did, she had no idea why. And it turned out the first gig they ever played, she was the only one that showed up. And, you know, so years and years later, they wanted to give her sort of some notoriety for being, you know, for being that person. And I think it just sort of speaks to what you were saying about that, about keeping that faith. And I think in the entertainment industry especially, that's a, it can be very daunting.
It can, and I think, too, what I realize is that those hard times and moments of rejection, moments of frustration, moments of uncertainty, all these things really have a purpose. I mean, they are shaping you. They are making you who you are, and they're creating some great music. You know, these feelings, these, you know, these bumpy moments, you might say, they're gonna make you play like you could never play before. I mean, they're gonna, real life experience, hardship. I mean, you're gonna get some good stuff out of that. I mean, there's some songs, there's some creativity to come out of that. So it's not all about, you know, being a rough moment. It's gonna help you grow, but those experiences, there's a lot of songs to be written about them, and there's a lot of emotions that come from those tough times that you know, use to your advantage.
Oh, I love that. One of the things that in my own life that I sort of learned, and it's so in alignment with what you're saying, Matt, is that God will take your test and turn it into a testimony, and you just, you know, it's always moving you toward the blessing. And especially in music, you're right that it's the people who are talking about what has happened to them that we find the most inspiring, like, wow, like, look at everything they went through, or when it's being conveyed instrumentally and it's taking you on a journey. And just that sense of gratitude that you have lends itself well to the next one of your songs that we have lined up, which is aptly named Gratitude. Could you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Sure. This is on a record that came out a few years ago called The Family Function, and that's function with a F-U-N-K-E-I-O-N, a little play on the style of music. And it really came from, you know, talking about, you know, years of hard work, and then finally I had a year where things started to click, and getting invited to play lots of shows, and people were supporting us, I had a great band who dedicated so much of their time to my journey, and you know, for a sometimes you really have to step back and be thankful for these times and these people, and then the song was sort of just, you know, to document that time I was in, and just to say thank you in general, thank you to, you know, to everything.
Oh. Gosh, that's so beautiful. So glad you're here tonight, Matt. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. For anyone just tuning in, we are here with Matt Marshak. Please, please, please visit Matt's website at www.mattmarshak.com. We're about to listen to a little bit of Gratitude from Matt's album, Family Function. Enjoy.
Now back to Unique with your host, Susan Stackpole.
Thank you, and thank you, listeners, for joining us. The beautiful music you just heard was Matt Marshak, www.mattmarshak.com. And that wonderful tune was Gratitude off his album, Family Function. Matt, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, not a problem. It's my pleasure.
Just fabulous to have you here. Matt, we're sort of winding down. Are there any upcoming appearances or projects that you would like our listeners to know about or check out?
Sure. Let's see. This upcoming Saturday, January 21st, I'll be performing live in Boca Raton, Florida. If anybody's in the southern part of the United States, we're going to be down there. And then coming up, we have plenty of shows we're going to be playing throughout the country, which, you know, they're all listed on my website, mattmarshak.com. We'll be in Arizona, a few shows in Florida, Georgia, North and South Carolina, New York. Come out and see us.
Wow, you are busy. You are incredibly mellow for being such a busy gentleman. Fantastic. Well, definitely check it out. Definitely a show worth seeing for sure. Mark, we have a couple minutes left on the show. We're going to top out the show with another one of your tunes, and I'm going to come back to that in just a second. I've got two more questions for you. The first is, if you could go back and give yourself a piece of advice, either as an aspiring musician or just in life in general, what would that advice be?
If I could go back, I gotta think of a good thing here. Well, I would say maybe what we touched on earlier. Sometimes don't push so hard and just allow. Don't push, allow it to happen.
It's interesting. We had, and you may be familiar with her, Stacey Kent. She's a jazz singer, and she was on her program, and she said she and her husband have a saying that instead of trying harder, to try softer. And it's interesting because a couple of people, including yourself, have sort of said this idea of, I think Kevin Spacey talked about it too in acting, is that when we sort of get out of our own way, that's when things can flow a little bit better. So I love that. I love that. Definitely something I'll be thinking about this week and applying in my own life. And I just wondered if there was anything above and beyond that that you'd like to leave with our listening audience in terms of if you have a particular motto that resonates with you or a piece of advice different than what you just shared that you'd like to leave with them.
Sure. I think, don't underestimate, the effect we can all have upon this world, just in our own little place. I think change happens at the smallest level, and folks who I'm friends with who, share similar ideas of just peace and joy and they have a vision for a more peaceful world in general. I think just small steps on a daily level, from holding a door to a greeting to somebody to, pat on the back to just giving somebody your time. These little things are really what are ultimately going to make a better world. The mass change doesn't always have to come from, politicians or people we think it may have to come from. It can happen, and it does happen at a small level.
Acts of random kindness. I like that. I like that idea, and it does. It's amazing how much a smile or a kind word or everything that you're saying can change people's life. I know people whose careers have been changed simply because they were sort of just being nice to the right person and not on purpose, not for anything to gain. And so you just never know what kind of difference that's going to make. Mark, you're such a delight. We have one more of your songs lined up that's so special and so appropriate for today. Brotherhood, please tell us a little bit about that, and that's what we'll close out the program with.
Sure. It's a song dedicated, and actually it features, I think maybe it was definitely one of the first times I've ever heard a jazz song with this person, and that's Martin Luther King Jr., and I've always been an admirer of his legacy, his words, his messages, and I think they're relevant to any people and at any time, and just I was always just touched by his life and the work that he achieved. And I had this idea to feature him on a song that I had written, and then I wrote to the Martin Luther King Estate, and after a few months, I finally heard back from them, and we put out this song a few years ago, and it actually made it onto the jazz charts, and we donated all of radio royalties back to the Martin Luther King Estate, and it was a high point in my career, and I was really glad to have the opportunity to, so to speak, perform with one of my idols.
Oh my gosh, that's such a beautiful story, and I love that you lead by example, Matt, that you not only talk the talk, but you walk the walk in your own life, and you just have such a kind spirit and just such a great curiosity for life and just put such beautiful things out in the world in terms of that wonderful heart that you have and the glorious music that you were so kind to share with us this evening. It just has been an absolute joy to have you with us. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, Susan. And, I had a great time, and thank you for having me on.
Our pleasure, for sure, Matt. Our pleasure. For anyone just tuning in, we're going to play a little bit more of Matt's music as we close out the program. Please visit Matt's website, www.mattmarshak.com. Mark's music has jazz with flavors of blues and soul and pop, and I'm sure you'll find at least one piece there that just really resonates with you. So definitely check it out. And you've been listening to Unique Life Starring You. Thank you so much for joining us, and you will be listening to Matt's track, Brotherhood, dedicated and featuring Martin Luther King Jr. Thank you so much.
In history, as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. This nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of